putting in water.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. Good to see everybody. I believe today we're starting a two-part series on mezuzah. And I believe it's this Monday and next Wednesday. I think for a couple of weeks, they switched me to Wednesday to Rabbi Neuberger, can only make it on Monday, something like that. So today we start the Inyanim of Hilchas Mezuzah. The Torah tells us in Parshas Resh Chanan Uksavtam al mezuzos beisecha uvisharecha, that mezuzah should be on mezuzos beisecha uvisharecha. So to understand Hilchas Mezuzah, you really just have to understand what this pasuk means. What it means, mezuzos, what does it mean, beisecha, and what does it mean, bisharecha. So hopefully in the course of these two shiurim, we'll have defined what these three words mean, mezuzos, beisecha, and bisharecha. So I'd like to begin today with the discussion of the word beisecha. Beisecha, so normally one would translate the word beisecha, beis means your house, beisecha, which would be the definition of a beis. But if you look in the Gemara, you'll see that that's not the exact way of translating it. And perhaps if you translate it that way, you can come to an improper conclusion. Whereas the Gemara says in Sukkah, that Gimel, that a bayis is an area that's dalat amos al dalat amos. It's an area that is 7 feet and 3 inches by 7 feet and 3 inches. I'm going through Rav Moshe Feinstein. Which means, then, that every single room in your house is considered a bayis in its own right. But, you know, the Ramah quotes that there used to be a minhag that some people had, which he feels is an incorrect minhag, and that is just to put one mezuzah on the front door, and that's it. You know, by secha, your house, so it's on the front door of my house. But the truth of the matter is that every room in the house is a bayis mifnei atzmo. If it is 7 feet and 3 inches by 7 feet and 3 inches. So even though we wouldn't call a room a bayis, in modern Hebrew we'd call it a cheder or whatever, you know, we'd call it a room, we wouldn't call it a bayis, but the Gemara tells us in Sukkah and Dav Gimel that every room is a bayis b'fnei atzmo and requires its own mezuzah, provided that it's the shear of 7 feet and 3 inches by 7 feet and 3 inches. Now, there is a discussion of the poskim.
You said that the area is 7 feet by 3 inches, and I mean that if I have a really long hallway, so area will equal 7 by 3.
Okay, so exactly. That's the exact point I'm leading up to right now. Excellent.
Sorry.
No, it's good. So, what's your name, Ramata?
Jason.
So Jason was raising the question, what does this mean? Say you have a very narrow hallway, but it goes for a long stretch. So it might have the area of 7 feet and 3 inches, but it doesn't have the minimum width of 7 feet and 3 inches. So, the poskim quoted machlokas about this topic, and the Taz in Hilchas Sukkah says there's no real machlokas. And everyone agrees, says the Taz, that you need a minimum width of 7 feet and 3 inches by 7 feet and 3 inches. And if you didn't have it both in maximum and minimum, you would not require a mezuzah. So, you know, a lot of apartments here in the Heights have a lot of, in the whole apartment, they might have some rooms that are not even 7 feet, 3 inches by 7 feet. Not the bedroom, of course, is going to be, it'll make the shear, but some other, rooms. However, there is the opinion of the Chamudei Daniel. And the Chamudei Daniel says a couple of things. One of the things he says is that a Beis Shaar, in other words, if the purpose of the room is not to use the room, but it's just a passageway, so then, even if it didn't have the 7 feet and 3 inches, it would be chayav. Even if it didn't have 7 feet and 3 inches by 7 feet and 3 inches. Because he maintains the whole point of 7 feet and 3 inches, 7 feet and 3 inches, is because you're going to use that area. And if it doesn't have that area, it's not... it's not useful. But if it's just a passageway, so then he writes, then it doesn't need to be 7 feet and 3 inches or 7 feet and 3 inches. Now many people rely on this opinion. What's my proof to that? Well, the following. There's a lot of houses, when you open up the from the front door, it goes into a little, very small chamber, right? A little foyer there. It's not even 7 feet and 3 inches, but 7 feet and 3 inches. So the question is, so why do you need a mezuzah on the front door? Right? In fact, Rabbi Vavi told me that Mikra Dini thinks that you don't need it, because it's not 7 feet and 3 inches by 7 feet and 3 inches. But the Minhag Olam clearly is people put a mezuzah on their front door, even if the front door only opens up into a small little room that's not 7 feet and 3 inches, 7 feet and 3 inches. So presumably they're holding like this opinion of the Chamudei Daniel that says that that as long as it's a passageway, it doesn't need to be 7 feet and 3 inches by 7 feet and 3 inches.
Is there a negative putting mezuzah in an area that's not 7 feet by 3 inches?
Yeah, I mean, you really should only put mezuzahs up where they're supposed to be. It's a discussion. I mean, Rav Moshe is a tshuva who says you really can, but it's really not the right thing to do, to put up, like, because then you make, it's like the whole mitzvah becomes cheapened. You're just putting it here, putting it there, like, the mezuzah should be put where there's a chiv to put it. To just put it down arbitrarily, that's a question whether you should do such a thing or not, but that became the people would think, what's the most important place in my house to put a mezuzah? So you'd ask the average person in the street, you'd say, of course, the front door. Right? If I only had one mezuzah, what should I use it for? So most people would say, put it on the front doors. So in a lot of cases, that's not the case, because a lot of cases, meeker than the front door might not even be chayev if it opens up. Some people's front door opens up into a big room. So then, that's equally obligated. But a lot of front doors just open into a little foyer, and therefore, according to many, there wouldn't even be an obligation, barring this opinion of the Chamudei Daniel, which says that that a passageway doesn't need 7 feet and 3 inches by 7 feet and 3 inches. He also was of the opinion, the Chamudei Daniel, that a storage room, which we'll talk about more, also does not need 7 feet and 3 inches by 7 feet and 3 inches, because, again, it's functional, like the Rosh Hashanah explains, even with that. Functional even without. It's not like I'm living in the closet. If I had to live in the closet, that wouldn't be functional if it's so cramped. But my shoes never complain. You know? They haven't complained yet. Even though they're in a closet that's not 7 feet and 3 inches by 7 feet and 3 inches, and they still haven't complained. So it's functional. So that's what the Chamude Daniel says. So even in a closet, you put a mezuzah even though it's not 7 feet and 3 inches. Now, the closets of discussion are only walk-in closets. In other words, if your closet is less than 7 feet and 3 inches and you don't walk into it, you just put your hands into it to get your shirts, or to get, that's not. Because in order to have an obligation of mezuzah, it has to be an area where you walk into with your body. And if you don't walk into it with your body, then there's no obligation. Even according to the Chamude Daniel. So says in the Tshuvas Mitzvos Yitzchak. But the Chamude Daniel has this idea, the way the Rashash explains it in Sukkah Dav Gimel, that is basically a question of function. So if I'm living in a room, so we assume that if it's not 7 feet and 3 inches, 7 feet and 3 inches, I'm not going to be able to function normally. And therefore, there's no mezuzah. But if it's not a place I'm living, I'm just passing through, or I'm just keeping my stuff there, it could be functional even if it's not 7 feet, 3 inches, 7 feet, 3 inches, and therefore it would be obligated. And many disagree and say, who says that this rule is true? If the Gemara says that it has to be dalet amos al dalet amos, 7 feet and 3 inches by 7 feet and 3 inches, that's it. It has to be dalet amos. So where did we have this idea that sometimes some rooms are different than others? So that's what Rav Abadi's opinion is, that if it's not dalet amos or dalet amos, and Rav Abadi holds in his new sefer like the Taz, that it has to be 7 feet 3 inches by 7 feet and 3 inches. You can't make up in length what you're losing in width. So that's it. That's the psak. So Mikra Din, you know, that is the psak. For most people, it would be very awkward if they didn't put a mezuzah on their front door. At my apartment here in the Heights, the door to the apartment goes into a narrow thing, which is not 7 feet 3 inches by 7 feet and 3 inches. I still have a mezuzah on the front door. I just can't get myself not to do that. Even though, as everybody points out, probably is not a chayv.
So like if you go into your apartment, it's a narrow thing, but it keeps on going, it ends up opening up into like a living room. Is that where does the area, like there's no door separating the narrow thing from the living room, so is that all count as one area?
Right, but say in my apartment, the door opens up into the little thing,
Yeah. And
then from there it goes to the dining room. But between that little thing and the dining room
is a doorway.
So it's clearly two separate.
So if there was no doorway, then I can count the entire thing.
It could be still two, like Rav Abadi pointed out, it would be two separate rooms still. If it was still one room, in other words, it's defined by the fact that the dining room has its own walls, and it's more wall than than opening.
So there's no doorway.
Happens to be in my case. There's not much a doorway, and you know. So,
yeah.
So but if there was no doorway or walls,
yeah.
You know, it's hard to describe it without actually seeing
it.
There are some situations where theoretically it could just be one big room.
Yeah.
But a lot of times it's two separate rooms, so then each room is. Is a different. You have to look at each room separately. That's what I'm about to put
it on. I have a front door, a hallway that leads straight into a big room, and so the hallways and tallamas were tallamas, but where would you put the mezuzah for the big room then? Would you put it right in front
of
the
room? Big room has its own, you know, it has to have a doorway.
Right, so it has two walls, it has a roof.
Yeah.
I could just put it on one of the walls, I guess, but...
Well, I would, you know, I would have to, you know, with a picture is worth a thousand words, so I would want to see it exactly, then if you want, I could be happy.
So let me ask you, if you walk into my apartment, I'm just curious, what would you look for in the...
I'd look to see if there's a doorway there, and I mean, you have to learn more halachas mezuzah. I only did 20 minutes so far.
Because if there was no doorway, let's say you walked in and it was clear there was no doorway at all, then it would not need a mezuzah.
Right.
Not even on my front door, which would have that big hallway that would lead into the big room.
Right, so the thing is that people put it in the front, but even though, you know, there's what the question about that as well.
Even though the Rebbe just said that your body holds, it needs to be dolled by the Alamos, and Ramosha has a true that says you shouldn't put a mezuzah on the door, it doesn't need a mezuzah.
Well, Ramosha says it's not the end of the world if you do put it, Ramosha writes, if you put it on something that really doesn't.
I'm just kind of confused, because if he says that you shouldn't put it on the door, it's like, I understand where...
No, Ramosha says it's not the end of the world if you do. So.
It could.
But I guess, or you have to say that the minhag became to accept the Chamud de Daniel. And that would mean that there are exceptions to the Dalet al Dalet rule, namely closets and passageways.
I would want to make the distinction of that, just because...
No, because the Rosh Hashanah explains, the distinction is that Dalet al Dalet is because that makes it the room functional. So that's only said by a place where the human being is going to function in the room. But if it's a place where it's for my shoes, for my clothing, so the clothing can function even in a smaller room. Or if it's a passageway, even a human being can function because it's just a passageway. So I'm just passing through. So as a passageway, it's functional, fine, you know, perfect, even though it doesn't have that... length. The length is not going to add to the functional ability of this room. And the flip side, of course, is say Rabbi said that no, that Lamai said this is the shear that was given, so you can't say these svaras.
Right.
And now there's another important point in Hilchos Mezuzah, and this, you know, this I also heard from Rabbi. This would save Yeshiva University a lot of money, the following kula, if they would have relied on this. And this is, you know what I'm saying in a second? The halacha is that in order to be chayav in mezuzah, it has to be what? A mokum dira. It has to be a place of dwelling. So dwelling means you sleep there, you eat there, it's like everybody said, you live there. So everybody told me he thinks Meikar Adin, and there is a yeshiva in Lakewood. I was just discussing with somebody over Yontif, somebody who went to that yeshiva. And the Rosh Yeshiva there is a Talmud of Ravabadi, so he follows his Pesachim. And that is that a yeshiva does not need a mezuzah except for the dormitory. You know how much money that would save? Especially a place like this. You know. Because it's not a makom dira. You don't live here. You spend time here, you have your classes here, you learn here, you live, but it's not a makom dira. So if it's not a makom dira, it's part of the mezuzah. The minhag is not a din of YU. I mean, the minhag became in all Jewish places that they put mezuzahs. I mean, you know, it says in Shulchan Aruch that if you have a store, you don't have to have a mezuzah. And the post can give two reasons: either because you're not there at night, or because it's talking about a makeshift store, but if you have a permanent store, you would. So some say, well, if the structure's permanent, that's, but the Parshat Pshat is not that way. Parshat Pshat, like Rav Mati said, you have to live there. It's just that Jewish institutions just feel that it's like not Jewish if we even put a, but it's not necessarily based on the absolute halacha. And so technically speaking, in all these buildings here, the only buildings that Rabbi holds that needs a mezuzah is the Reuben dorm and the Morg dorm and all the dormitories.
Within your home, if I have a room that I just do learning or I just study in there, right? So I'm not living there. Would I, according to this school,
excellent question, Jason. Excellent question. So excellent question. So Jason's asking. So maybe within your home itself, you could say that. Well, my bedroom, okay, I sleep there. The kitchen, dining room, eat there. But what about these other rooms? I just hang out there. So that, we assume not that way. We assume that, like Rabbi said, the whole home is part of living. You know, because all those rooms that are in your home are all, even though, you know, your point is well taken, you know, but you know, say you have a basement that you only use for playing ping pong and exercising. And that's basically what you do there. You never sleep there, you never eat there, you never. So why is that different than Lamaisa, like everybody points out, still Matsuraf to the whole home. Still part of that Dira. Even though one could have argued with that, and one could have said that since every room is considered a separate bias, then maybe we should look at everything differently. But that's what he thought was the simple pshat. So that would be a good. You know, if you, people would follow the such. So I was over Sukkot. I met a fellow who attended that yeshiva in Lakewood, who was run by a Talmud of Rav Abadi. So in that yeshiva, they don't have mezuzahs. You know, because Rav Abadi thinks it's a waste of money if it's really not except in a dormitory, because that's a makom dira.
Yeshivas in Europe where a lot of times.
Yeah, in yeshivas in Europe, people used to stay in people's homes.
Yeah.
They would be put up in homes. So that's a different story. I think what they say, maybe the Lublin yeshiva was like the first place to have a dormitory or something like that. You know, like these yeshivas didn't have, you know, that's a different situation. What about a base Knesset or a base Medrash? So a base Knesset for sure is not chayav mezuzah, a shul. Because unless someone lives there. You know, the old shuls, people, the shamans used to live in the shul. But then it would only be in the room that he lives in.
The base Knesset is the entire building or just the sanctuary?
Well, the technical word base Knesset is only the sanctuary. But Lamaisa is like Ravadi pointed out, the rest of the building also no one lives there. You do have sometimes some shuls like out of town where they have an apartment there for the rabbi or for something like that. But in most shuls there's no one living there. But yet the minhag is that shuls, they like to put up mezuzahs in the shuls. That became a thing, like Jewish institutions like to put up mezuzahs. Since they feel it's like a Jewish thing to do. But the shul doesn't need a... However, the Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch says that a base medrash maybe is different. A base medrash is different. Why? So the Shach explains, because when we talk about a base medrash, we mean a base medrash in yeshiva, where people are there the whole day. I mean, like sometimes you have a shul where they have the sanctuary where they daven on Shabbos, they call that the base Knesset, and where they daven during the week, They have a small place, they call that the Beis Medrash. Right? And all the big shuls, they have that. Even though it has no halachic bearing. That's just meaningless. Because why is that called the Beis? This is the Beis Medrash, that's the Beis Medrash. It means that there's not so many people come during the week, like come on Shabbos, so they don't want to open up the sanctuary on the weekday, so they have a smaller place where they have for the weekday. And that became called the Beis Medrash. But that has no halachic significance whatsoever. That's not a Beis Medrash means a place where, like in yeshiva, where people are there the whole day, in morning, night, etc. So the Shach explains, since people are there for so many hours, it looks like a place of living. So therefore, according to one opinion in the Shulchan Aruch, it's chayiv in mezuzah. And there's a famous story about the Maharam in Rutenberg, that the Maharam in Rutenberg was learning in the Beis Medrash, and in the afternoon he would like doze off, but then there would be like a spirit that would be disturbing him, some evil spirit that would be disturbing him. And then he finally put up a mezuzah in the Beis Medrash, and the evil spirit went away. And that was the story. So the Maisa, the Beis Medrash, is the one place that maybe is different. But in they built this building here, the Gluck building, but they made a Beis Medrash that's really not, doesn't have a place to put a mezuzah. And they still have a mezuzah there. To have a mezuzah, you need a door frame. There's no door frame. They have a glass door in the middle of a wall. So there's no door frame. Yeah. You know, that's a fancy architecture. It's not to have door frames. Just to have like glass doors, like in the middle of a wall. And then they have a mezuzah. So I was saying that they should, it's awkward because... you have a mezuzah, a place with quite a body. All these mezuzahs are meaningless because they're not there. Okay, but at least it's a doorway. But here, it's not even a doorway. So I recommend that they should make a doorway if they want to have mezuzahs there. You know, but that's a whole big thing. You can't just make a. It's a whole. You know, to take it down and make a whole thing, but they should have, you know.
With this whole concept of the Beis Medrash, you know, it's kind of like this living, you would put up a mezuzah. I'm saying if there was like a regular door frame, whatever, and we define living as a place that you know, Malcolm Suda, like a place where you eat and whatever, I thought that you can't eat in a Beis Medrash, like in a Beis Medrash.
Well, that's a whole different discussion. That, I mean, there's a discussion whether you're allowed to eat in a Beis Medrash or not.
And I was just learning in
Gemara
previous period about this, with like making kiddush in the Makom Suda.
Right.
The whole
bit. Right. Yeah, but here they're just saying that since people are there so long, it looks like a dira. I mean, Rav Avadi said he still doesn't understand why Beis Medrash really should need a mezuzah. But there isn't a day in Shulchan Aruch that says that it needs a mezuzah. Now, what about a place, a storage place? Right, so... So storage place is really a machlokas rishonim, but we pass that a storage place is chayiv in mezuzah. But again, only if it's so simple pshat is has to be 7 feet 3 inches by 7 feet 3 inches. The Chamudi Daniel was machadish that even if it's less, since it's functional even less, that it also would. Would need a. So that's a question about a garage. So many poskim say, I've done the fights, you know, that a garage, you should put a mezuzah on a garage. Because it's considered like a storage place.
But like a shack is also if we have like a shed in our backyard, so that's also storage place, but if the mizrach wouldn't survive that. It's outside, and like it's a lot. The condition that it's in, like it's wet inside, like sometimes, like it's not like.
Yeah, I mean, what if you would put it in a plastic or you know?
Well, I don't understand why a storage unit that's not in your house would be mechayev in mizrach.
So what says Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, Rav Abadi and Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky both said the same thing, and that is that the storage place only needs a mezuzah if it's linked with your deer. Let's say, for example, you have a storage place in the city where you use, you know, where people rent storage places. So you don't live there, so there's no deer there. So he says, sort of Yaakov Kamenetsky and Rav Abadi both said that you wouldn't need a mezuzah. The storage is only like the case over there, but your shack is by your house, right?
Yeah, part of it's not connected to my house.
Okay, but it's on your property.
Yes.
Right. It's on your property, so it's considered part of your deer.
It would be fine if it does that.
Right. But it has to be Dalaramas by Dalaramas, the shack.
Unless you follow the Chamudah.
Right, unless you follow Chamudah Daniel. But and is the shack you can walk into?
You can walk into it, yeah.
Yeah, so then,
so where's the
time? I guess from
here. Okay.
And it's 7 feet and 3 inches, 7 feet and 3 inches?
Maybe a little smaller than that, but for, where, like, if I put a mezuzah in other places in my home, it's not 7 feet 3 inches, then obviously you're trying to get there also.
Right, because then you can
yeah.
Yeah. Unless you feel that it's going to be stolen. Yeah,
it's also like a very skinny door. Like it's the doorway is like a skinny door. The glass door is not like it's not a doorway. It's just there's not much place to put it. So that'd be better to. So if I would put it, so the door opens out. I put it inside.
Oh, place. So we have to learn those. Because so you have to come back to the next year and we do that.
So if the mezuzah is prone to being stolen, like. Maybe
there's a lot of the mezuzah is prone to being stolen. If the mezuzah is prone to being stolen, then you don't have to put one up. So that's an important halacha in Hilchos Mezuzah. That you're not mechuyav to put up a mezuzah if it's going to be stolen. Or there's a good chance it's going to be stolen. Okay. So again, so the closets are that's called what's called the base ozer. That's a place for storage. Now one could argue, I think that maybe we've never seen that as a tshuva, some want to say that maybe a garage is always higher than a mezuzah. If you're going to keep things in it that you're going to use in your house, like you store the wine there, you store the, you know, so it's like considered tougher to your house. But if it's just a car, then maybe one can argue that that's not called a base officer. Because, and one could say the other way, that no, since it's part of your living, and it's part of your house, and then, but I can see either way. In other words,
yeah. I have to actually use either, going back to the shack we had.
What do you keep there?
We have our sukkah stuff in there, like the outdoor chairs in there, and we have like the snow stuff in there. If we don't keep anything, nothing in there is actually going inside the house. Everything is
right for
outside stuff.
Right.
So
if you say like that's far, then maybe. Maybe not, but
it's
not
part of my living. Inside my house, it's not part of my living.
Right.
So.
Right. But yet, some of them want to say that even if it's just a car, it's good enough. But the shack is. That's the. That's the story about the storage. Because that's what I asked Rabbi Badi once. I said to him, yeshiva doesn't need, according to Rabbi Badi, doesn't need a mezuzah, but what about, isn't it a storage for all the chairs and all the desks and all the things? So he said, no, but if no one lives there, storage alone doesn't do it. It's only storage with, so if you hold it, that in yeshiva, no one's living here in the building, there's no storage, because storage is only if it's nitpal to a dealer.
But if it was just one big building with dorms and a yeshiva?
Maybe that would be, you know, in the Chofetz Chaim, in Eretz Yisrael, in Sanhedrin Merchevet, I think it's, at least when I visited there, it was one building. But basically, you know, that you could basically spend 6 months without even walking outside. You go from your dorm to the Beis Medrash back up, and that's one. So maybe there one could argue that that's a different situation. But in most yeshivas, the dorm is separate. But it's important to know, because sometimes, like, people, you want to get someone a mezuzah that's a frum, so you want to know where should you put it in the house, where is it going to be the most meaningful. You don't have enough mezuzahs, so you want to know where should you put it. So that's important to know. What's the real obligation? What's just a chumrah or just a quasi minhag of sorts? So like the mezuzahs in this building, so it's all. It's not a real. It's a questionable chiyuv. In fact, that was the discussion when they opened up the Gluck building. So they had a ceremony here at the beginning of last year, opening up the Gluck building. So, and part of the ceremony, the president, President Joel, was going to, I think, affix a mezuzah to the building. So the question is, what bracha do you make? Because you can't make a bracha on the mezuzah, because probably the Gluck building, also no one lives in the Gluck building. Yeah, so I think the maskana was he made a hatova ha-meitiv. Whereas if you have something new that is for you and other people, so you make hatova ha-meitiv. That's what my body told me when we bought our car, my wife's new car. So it's for the family, so it's for more than one person to benefit. So make hatova ha-meitiv. Whereas if you buy something just for yourself, a new thing, you have to learn the halacha if you want to do it. But so then it's shefiyani. But if it's
the suit that you buy for you and your dad.
I know what I'm saying, suit, so we know I know what I buy a suit, both of them wearing it all the time. You share a suit? We're on the same size, so I'll just be interchanged, so we all have, yeah, get more suits that way. So would that be a total amazement? That it's shefiyani? Yeah, that's a good question. Let me think about it. I hear what you're saying. Okay, that's a good, I never thought of that case, because most people, the suit's just for them. Okay, good, very nice. Okay, so that is the word beisecha. So what does a beisecha mean? It has to be dalad amos by dalad amos. 7 feet and 3 inches, 7 feet and 3 inches is like Rav Moshe fights this year. The Rav Chaim Noah has even less, like 6 feet or something, and 3 inches. So I have to check these exact shit, but something, it's almost like a foot less. And it has to be, so it has to be a certain size, and it has to be a makom of dira, as we said. Beisecha. Now there's one other point in the word beisecha, and that beisecha means your home. You have to own the home in order for the Bichai and Mezuzah, or is it enough that you're renting? So, That's a machlokas. So we paskin that if you rent, you also chayef. But many poskim say that's only midrabanan. Because midaraisa, it's besecha. Midaraisa, you have to own it because it says besecha. Midaraisa, it says besecha. So you have to own it. But is the chiv midrabanan when you rent? So when you rent, then you have to put up a mezuzah. But it's only midrabanan.
But you
said
bracha or the bracha?
Bracha, yes.
So is there any practical difference
between? Yes. The practical difference is that it says in the Gemara that when you buy a house in Chutz La'aretz, you have to put the mezuzah up right away. But if you're renting, you only have to put it up by day 31. Practical notes. Now, and right away means when you move in. In other words, usually when a person buys a house, so till he actually moves in, is it could be months, or till he puts the stuff up. In other words, he has the ownership like months before, but there's painting, they're painting the house, and then they're doing this and that. So it's a whole a whole thing. But the day he moves in, that he's living there today, he's eating, he's sleeping over, then there's a chiyuv to have a mezuzah. But when you rent in Chutz La'aretz, then the Gemara says not only by day 31 are you obligated. Some say Rav Shechter quotes from Rav Shach, and other poskim say that maybe is before they had like a lease. But today you have a lease, and so you can't be kicked out. So then maybe even by renting you should put it up right away. But yet many poskim say that you still have till day 31. By renting Chutz La'aretz.
What if, I don't know how this case would actually be, but like, let's say a non-Jew owns the home and he's giving you a free room.
You're renting?
No. I don't know how, like maybe adopted parents, let's say a non-Jew adopts a Jew and the Jew is over Bar Mitzvah, so he's high Bar Mitzvah, but he has this free room. He
produces
up his own group, like,
maybe
not even for the whole
house. Yeah, it's not so posh that he's tired. Because he's not really.
It's not his home.
It's not his room, really, even though that's where he lives. But he doesn't have any claim to the room. Like if the parents want to tell him to go into a different room. I don't know for sure. I have to think about it more, but that's so.
So you own an apartment building, and you have apartment mezuzahs on every doors. You have no mezuzahs at this point.
No. So the chalva is on the person who's renting.
No, I own. In theory, I can move to anyone's rooms. I own the entire building.
Right, but the Gemara says the chalva mezuzah is on
the person who's living there.
The renter who's living there. Because that's the same idea, that it's a chovas hadar. It's a din in the dirim, and he's living there.
If it was empty, would you have to put it on the mezuzah? Or no one's living there, so it doesn't matter.
So he's living there, so. As what we said before, it's to be dirim. And some say the reason why the Rabbanan instituted by day 31 is because if you're living there so long, 30 days already, then it's sort of like a marasayim. The people think you own it. That's why the Avdinezer writes, if Chas V'Shalom somebody's in the hospital for an extended period of time, God forbid, So there's no chiyuv mezuzah, because no one's going to think that he owns the hospital if he's there for more than 30 days. There's no chashash of Meir Sinai.
Why the immediate when you purchase and why don't we extend it for 30 days for that also?
By where?
But when I purchase the home.
Because then it's your house. So then there's no, you see, there's a chiyuv, there's a real chiyuv. Because the pasuk says beisecha. So you have to own it. So if you don't, you're only renting, really there should be no chiyuv at all. Because it's not beisecha. But it's still this type of marasayin. So if you're there for 10 days, people are not going to think that you own it. People think you're just there. But if you're there already for a month, people are going to think that you own it. So even though you don't, but people will think you do. So that's like a marasayin, like Rav Shach explained. So therefore you should put up a mezuzah. Okay. Now, okay, so that is, and then another point is when you, this shaila I get all the time, when you leave, or you mechuyev to leave your mezuzahs there. Say you have an apartment here in the Heights, and then you're moving to wherever. So you, because the Gemara says that the person who leaves his house is not allowed to take his mezuzahs with him. Because he's considered damaging the new person coming in. Because he's taking away his protection.
Jew or non-Jew?
So if it's a non-Jew, you can take it, for sure. If you know that a non-Jew is moving into your apartment, and you're leaving the apartment, you can take it. You know, the non-Jew does not need the mezuzahs. So you don't... But if it's another Jew moving in, you have to leave the mezuzah. But the Ramah writes that you could charge him for them. But it's not a freebie. In other words, you have to offer it to sell it to him. But if he says he doesn't want to pay, then you're not mechuyev to leave it for him. So this comes up all the time, that people are here, especially in the Heights, where people are here for, a lot of people are here just temporarily. And then...
You just have to leave the cloth. You don't
leave
the case, I assume. It's just the actual.
Right. Yeah. Cloth. Theoretically, you could just leave the cloth on the wall. The case is his business. But like Rabbi Body said to me once, it's just like you're not supposed to be mazik him. He's not supposed to be mazik you. If he's just getting your mezuzahs for free. So that's it's not right either. So he has to pay for it. If he said it a little bit different context. But the same idea. This shadow comes up a lot when people are leaving and coming. Okay.
You're required to put them up, but once they were put up by someone who wasn't required, you have to take them down and put them back up.
What do you mean?
Like, let's say you have, for example, you had the construction, it's the guy who put them up.
Yes, you have to take it down. The Jew has to put it up.
We actually had some funny story. I used to work in like a Judaica store, and one person came in and had a story that, they told they had the instructions to put them up. And so they called up saying, so yeah, and they threw out all the warranties that were inside.
Yeah.
So.
You mean they put it up in the Judaica store?
No. I worked in the Judaica store, and a customer came in to get mezuzahs because when he told the constructionist to put them up, the constructionist threw out all the mezuzahs.
Oh, he threw out the mezuzahs?
Because he thought they were just a warranty.
Oh, he's just a warranty. Oh, he just put empty cases. Oh, yeah.
Should you, should you, I'm sorry, should you cut them, like, should you cut out yourself so you say the bracha, or is it, like, okay to have, like, a contractor just put out, like, these building, like, should I wait, like, how can we house both for me? Should I say, I want to put them up so I can say the bracha, or just give it to the contractor, say, you cut it up, like, I'm not.
Well, what if you buy a new house?
Buy a new house, or I have it built, or whatever, anything.
Yeah, you might as well put it up yourself.
Yeah,
if it's your house, I mean, if you could appoint a shliach, but it's better always to do it yourself. So you should. And it's important to get, you know, good. A lot of times people, like Rabbi Willing's brother always used to say, Rabbi Dov is willing. People buy fancy houses, expensive things, and then they spend all the money on that, and the mezuzah, they have a very cheap mezuzah. So people should get a nice mezuzah. I mean, you don't have to go broke, but you should get something that's considered quality, not just, because there could be a lot of cheap stuff that's, you know, poorly done, and you want to get something that's good. Mikra Hadin says twice in 7 years you have to have the mezuzahs checked. But Rav Shech is head over from Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, he has a chiddush. Rav Shlomo Zalman said that today that our mezuzahs are basically protected, meaning Mizman Chazal, so people had to worry about the elements. Even if you had a mezuzah in your house, there was no heat. So when it was cold in the winter, the house was very cold, so the mezuzah could get ruined. But today, basically, the mezuzahs inside our houses are basically protected. So if Shlomo Zalman thought that with Manazah, there wouldn't be that fear anymore to check mezuzahs. That applies to 7 years, only on the outside doors, but on the inside door. But of course, if you have a doubt that maybe you never got a good mezuzah in the first place, then of course you should get a check. Is that we're talking about that you know you got a good mezuzah, but the question is if over time did it get ruined? So technically speaking, the halacha is twice in 7 years. So then Rav Shach said Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach thought that wouldn't apply inside the home today, only outside the door or in your shack. Oh, the Rambam has an interesting kiddush, which we don't really possibly like, but we've taken into account, and that is the Rambam holds that the only place that requires a mezuzah, besides the requirements we said to be a Beis Din, etc., is you need a door. A doorway is not enough. You have to have a door. That's what the Rambam sheet is. If there's no door, there's no mezuzah. So we don't postulate like that. We put a mezuzah out even if there's just a doorway. However, the Shach says that since the Rambam says it, in deference to the Rambam, we don't make a bracha unless there's a door. But since the Rambam's opinion is there's no obligation whatsoever, even though we don't fully apostate the Rambam, but in deference to the Rambam, we don't make a bracha. So therefore, when you're going to make a bracha on your mezuzah, you have to find a room that's 7 feet 3 inches by 7 feet 3 inches, and it has a door also. So a lot of times I go to people's homes in the Heights and try to help them, to show them where to put the mezuzahs. And a lot of times, you know, maybe there's only one place in the whole apartment that really you can make a bracha, usually the bedroom. There's a lot of the either no doors, like in the living room, it's no door, or it's a narrow room that's not 7 feet and 3 inches. So usually maybe there's one place. Usually there's one place, because usually the bedroom is going to be 7 feet and 3 inches, and the bedroom usually has a door. So then that would be, and then once you put it up, then you don't speak. And then you make one bracha on the place that's chayiv in the zuzu of the bracha, and then you put it on the rest of the places.
The zuzu is not considered up in, like my friend I remember this one of my friends got an apartment, so he was up there and said, can you hold, he said, so you tap the first nail and said, can you hold it? Like, what's the other nail in? So is that...
Okay, that's the, you're talking about something necessary.
Okay.
So that's like, but if you start speaking about extraneous things, like your classes and your sporting events or whatever, so it has nothing to do with anything, so that you shouldn't.
Does the door need to be something like a door mirror? It can be like a sheet or something, like it shows separation, or does it need to be like a door?
A door.
That's
cool. I mean, if somebody just puts up a sheet, you know, like it's really not part of anything, they just a makeshift thing, I don't know whether you...
Like when I lived in IHP, there was no door on my bedroom, and they said just put a sheet there. Like, I don't want to put a sheet on my bed, on my door. But like I said, because I wanted privacy, so like, there was...
So what did you do? You had you...
Oh, the living room was already on there. I just put the IHP, I just left it open without...
So you put thumbtacks in the thing, and how did you keep it up?
I would have put in putting sheet on there. They told me to do that. That would have just like my thumbtacks or whatever.
Yeah, so I don't know if that's considered a...
It needs to have like hinges or something.
Yeah, that's just, that's... yeah, something so flimsy, I don't know.
What if you have a situation where you have what was once a living room, like connected to a kitchen, but then you put up made out of plywood, like walls, with like a mom's real door with a door post, but you can take down this separation. It's not like a cement or a drywall wall. It's like made out of plywood, but it does have like a little bit of like a permanentness to it. Like it's a strong structure, but it's not flimsy, but it can be theoretically taken down very easily just by unscrewing a couple of screws.
You know, it's hard to say, you know. Make it on the permanent door. He once asked the Rambam, how did he know this halacha, that you need a door? So he replied, I mean, he learned it more that way, because the pasuk says, visharecha, your gates. So what does it mean, your gates? The door is the gate of the house, of the room. So, right, that's what a gate is, a door. So since the pasuk says, visharecha, he learned from there that you need a... You need a door. Now, the Gemara in Yuma has another explanation of Bisharecha. The Gemara says a Kiddush that Gemara says that if you have a city that's surrounded by a wall, right, and there's a gate leading into the city, the gate of the city needs a mezuzah. Shar Ha'ir needs a mezuzah.
It's like neutral.
What?
It's like neutral when you go like.
Wait 1 second. And that's learned after the word Bisharach. The city gate needs a city. What do you think of that? So give me an example.
Shar Yafo.
Any shah of?
The old city.
Okay, so the old city would have been our prime choice, right? But the halacha is that the old city is not chayav in mezuzah. Why not?
Is that a road running through?
What?
Is that a road running through? Or it's
it has a what going through?
A road, or maybe it's not all Jews?
Well, you have to have Rashi writes in Yuma. You have to have rove inhabitants be Jewish. Yartika? What's the rove?
It's not, because I know Rav Nevin's not.
It's not rove, it's rove.
It's
one of the Right? It's not chayav mezuzah. So they do have mezuzahs, but that's not really chayav.
All the kids, even the non-Jewish kids.
I don't know, I mean, I think Shar Yafo has...
I never walked, I don't really walk through many of the non-Jewish kids. Like during the Yerushalayim, you walk through like all the other gates, kind of remember ahead.
You learned in the.
I learned in Rishi, but like Yerushalayim, everyone goes to Yerushalayim.
I don't remember the repeat.
But they have in the Jewish ones.
Yeah.
So Pashtus says it doesn't need because it's not Rav Yisrael. Rav David Feinstein told me once in the Sukkah, he thought that it's not enough Rav Yisrael, he thinks you need Kol Yisrael. I'll tell you the context he told it to me in a second. So where's a case where you need Where would be a case that it would chayv mezuzah? Also, where's the discussion? You know where? In Brooklyn. Where? Seagate. You know Seagate? It's a Walden area in Brooklyn. Seagate. So Seagate, there's a whole discussion that shouldn't require mezuzah because it's Rav Yisrael.
There's a wall in
part
of Brooklyn?
Yeah, it's all closed. So the only thing we were afraid of is that the mezuzah would get stolen. Like we said before, if it gets stolen, you don't have to put it up. So I saw Rav Harfness wrong with the thing about it. He discussed that maybe what there was a suggestion raised. And why don't you do like this? First put up the case without a mezuzah and see if that gets stolen. If that doesn't get stolen, then you can put in the cloth. You know, that was the suggestion. I haven't been there recently. The last time I was there, I didn't see a mezuzah. There's a man in the Just Kosher Market. There's a new person working there at night. Like a Hamish Yid. So he told me he's from Seagate. So I have to ask him. If recently it's this mezuzah there at Seagate. But Seagate would be the place. Oh, so I asked, the question was, why you brought up the building, some of the buildings here. So the building I live in, Goldwich lives in 475 186th Street, was bought by NYU. So I said, oh, so now we should put up
mezuzah
on the front door.
This is Rav Yisrael.
Right, it's Rav Yisrael. There's only a couple of non-Jews in the whole building. So I actually wrote out a work order sheet not to do it. So then I was in the sukkah with Rav David Feinstein, and he told me that he feels he needs Kol Yisrael. It's a bit chiddush. It's hard to find Kol Yisrael. So I was discussing with Rav Badi. He thought, Manhattan, it'll get stolen. You know. So since maybe we both said not to pursue it, so I didn't pursue it anymore for different reasons. So last Purim, you hear last Purim? You know, usually they have a masiba by Rav Goldwich's. And then he goes with his entourage into the. So on his way out, he decided that he's going to be koveya a mezuzah on the front door of the building on Purim night. And that's what he did. And then, I don't know how long it was, walked by, no mezuzah. So we found, I saw my wife's a mezuzah laying by the mail place there. And I showed it on the roll and says, oh, that was the mezuzah. So somehow it got something took it out. So right now there's no mezuzah there. So the mezuzah isn't really.
Why did you ever say that you why would you call this wrong?
Because I believe he feels that just like it's sort of like the din is put it to some Rishon if you have a shutfus partnership in an apartment with a Jew and a non-Jew, so then the fact that a non-Jew has part of the ownership, so that exempts. So the question is, did he say that by the gate? Is that like similar to that is. So if you say no, gay is just enough that it's Rav Yisrael. So the Rashi says Rav Yisrael, or Sameach quotes this Rashi, Eitho or not. So Lamaisa, we don't have the actual story. I was asking Rav Dov, was a different Shiloh. I was asking him about elevators. The elevators need mezuzahs. No, it's a good question. So Rav David thought only if the whole building is Jewish. And that's how we got into this conversation. If the whole building is Jewish. No, so the way we would do it is coming out from every floor. On the second floor, coming out to the hallway. Not on the part that the elevator that moves, but on the part that's solid, on every floor, on the second floor coming into the hallway, and the third floor. You know, the first floor is a question, because the first floor, when you go in, it's just leading into the elevator. The elevator might not be Dalad Amos al-Dalad Amos. But when you come onto the second floor, the third floor, the fourth floor, like here, it comes into a big room. So we're talking about an apartment building where people live. Here I wouldn't do it because, anyway, we saw the back gate in the elevators when the whole building made, and we said it would vibrate out of the room. But I remember 5-6 years ago, I was in Eretz Yisrael with my wife, and I wanted to see Rav Eliashiv. I just wanted to see the whole surroundings of Rav Eliashiv. So we went to his house there, and he has a private elevator with a mezuzah on the elevator.
I know that for the old city that if you don't really have a shutfus with when you don't have rogue Jews, so I know a lot of people don't go by there. I know Rav Eliashiv Kostin that you can't make a shutfus in a place where you have
just for what purpose are we talking about?
Prayer.
To do what?
As in, I know when I was in the old city, Rav Nevinsal said that he wouldn't hold by the Arab in the old city because the old city is not Rome of Jews, and therefore there couldn't be a shifus there. And he told me that was the psak.
You mean to make a schiris reshus?
Why? No, just to make a shifus within the old city, so that the shifus that everyone holds.
So in other words, to carry, you have to put up the pass that you need an Arab. That's Ares and Skiris or Shus. So it could be Skiris or Shus you're talking about.
No, because it's all walls in the whole city.
Doesn't matter, you still need a Skiris or Shus. Okay, Erevin is a complicated matter. We're not going to get into that now.
But anyways, from the way I understand is that he wouldn't that be like he would hold that if it doesn't need a mezuzah because it's real, he wouldn't also be able to hold by the Erev?
No, Erev is a separate matter. I don't have the time now to explain to you. So that was the. So that's the din of Bisharacha. So the story is that our apartment doesn't have a.
Let me also ask, the gate into the old city, hypothetically, if you were to stick one there, it's like a corner. You walk in and then you walk to the left. So there's like two openings there.
Which Shari are you talking about?
Shari Yafo. I think all the Shari Yafo
does have a mezuzah.
No, but where would it, where would you put it?
It's by the door, you know, the metal doors that can close.
But they can close on both sides, no?
Yeah, and I'm saying where it is.
Next week, Rez Hashem, we'll discuss where on the doorpost you put the mezuzah. Because we didn't, that's what I'm leaving for next. We didn't discuss that at all. So it's the actual where. Where specifically do you put it, facing which direction. It's that those technicalities. Today we discussed like what's chayav the mezuzah, but how exactly to affix the mezuzah, that will leave for next week. Yeah.
I was going to ask if you could, let's say, put a mezuzah inside the door frame, let's say, like a slot or something.
Yeah, in Eretz Yisrael, they do that a lot. They have mezuzahs in the door.
How can you say you don't have to put one up if you're worried about it getting stolen, if you can actually build it into the door?
Oh, because the halacha is, most posts can say that there was, in America, most people put the mezuzah on the door, not in the. But in Israel, I'm sure you've seen this, in the stone itself, they have the. But the halacha is it has to be noticeable. But you can't just have it in the thing and then plaster it up.
Or even like let's say the Chalil City, I think it's like a.
Okay, it's inside the wall.
It's in, but even like the holder, let's say, it's like built into the wall. You can see that it's in the mezuzah case, but it's,
right.
Like in, it's like together with the wall.
Right, so it's a halami. But someone wants to steal, I think they could probably still steal it. Well, it's a little difficult.
There's even more of a check in there. It's in the wall. If it's able to take out the check, then it's able to be taken out to be stolen.
Right, exactly.
Maybe it's so hard to take out a lock. So it's like someone's going to grab it.
I just don't understand.
You have to throw it open once every 3 years to check, you'll do that.
I just don't understand how you define a doorway.
A doorway means that there's a. We'll talk about it next time. There's a lintel on top and the two posts on the right and the left. Like the doorway.
So couldn't that it need to be separate from the walls? Why couldn't you just have two walls that meet on the top? You call
okay,
that doorway?
So come back next week.
Are we gonna discuss how to roll it? Yeah.
Okay, I mean next week we'll just go.
So for a gated like community dealer, so if you want to know, does it have to all be the same material gate? Or like can you like have like for like a walled city, but it's just gated, it's not a wall. But did it all be the same material? Like can trees act as a wall for a gate or not? Like so I do gated community. It's only gated from the like from front of all that and in the back is all trees. So like there's fair separation.
Maybe if it's all encompassed.
So that
I mean you're saying that the metal part is only
in the front
75%.
Yeah.
And then the another 25% is just trees.
Yeah.
Or like shrubbery.
Yeah, the, right.
Does that count as
Trees are if it's dense enough, you know, yeah. If it's you know Okay, we want to welcome Rabbi Dubin, who's our new assistant here for Mondays. Even though next week I think I'm going to. Next week they're changing me to Wednesdays. So Rabbi Newberg, I think, needs to come on Mondays. So, but we'll continue Bez Hashem whenever it is on the schedule.
Is anybody hasn't signed in yet?
Okay, go ahead.